Windows 10 is going to be free and full of Spartan, which sounds kind of weird. Watch anything like curling or Netflix from anywhere you might live or roam, build or buy. That's the question Shannon's working on for her next gaming PC. All this and quite a bit more coming up on Tech Thing. Tech Thing is brought to you by viewers like you. If you get value from the show and would like to support us directly, please consider contributing at patreon.com/techthing.
I'm Shannon Morse.
And I'm Patrick Norton.
And this is Tech Thing. We make technology behave.
And we're going to try to have a little bit of fun doing it.
Yes, we will. Yeah. We like tech, but we love what we can do with it, whether it's getting the latest modal phones or speeding up your gaming PC.
New apps or how to make sure your data or that awesome photo doesn't get away. We are here for you, Shannon and I. So get ready to get some questions answered.
Speaking of questions, where's your drone?
It's right over there. So if you're watching from the Hack 5 crew, I actually teased my first drone segment, which is actually in next week's show. I'll give you a hint though, it's not the Parrot AR 2.0 or the AirHogs Helix X4, although there are cool features on both of those.
They do have some pretty cool features.
But my favorite costs half as much, at least until you go nuts with the sickness and start buying all sorts of stuff to go with the drone.
I'm really curious now.
I'll give you a hint. Drone enthusiasts will know what this is. Everyone else will be like, what is that?
Amazon? Amazon. Now, we were all set up to chat about LastPass delivering a native app for OS X. So this is interesting.
The LastPass Mac app is here. Instant logins, quick search, security checks.
But hey, there were some really, really big news announcements from Microsoft as well this morning. So Windows 10 will be free for Windows and Windows 8.1 phone users. And for the first year, Windows 7 users can score a free upgrade.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Microsoft promises to keep upgrading the operating system. Quote, we will continue to keep it current for the supported lifetime of the device.
That's crazy.
At no additional charge. With Windows 10, the experience will evolve and get even better over time. We'll deliver new features when they're ready, not waiting for the next major release, which is essentially like...
Sounds like Apple.
Yeah, well, it's Windows as a service. Well, it's a little different because they're talking about constantly evolving it, unifying the experience into one Windows 10, right? So it's not going to be like, well,
that makes sense.
Well, yeah, it's miserable, right? Because there's Windows Phone, there's Windows RT, which both people have, then there's like the Windows tablets, and there's the Windows desktop. So, you know, I'm oversimplifying, but developers are probably weeping with joy if something will work across all the Windows environments, desktop, laptop, tablets, phones, and Windows 10 is going to get a new browser.
I like the code name for this.
Spartan.
I am Spartan!
Yeah, it's like, you know, so many places we can go with this.
Oh my gosh, but so many. So many very sexy men in, never mind.
Get out the oil and I'm... Just watch 300, you'll know what we mean. And if you don't, that's okay too. So Spartan's gonna use Microsoft's Trident rendering engine. You'll have the ability to like mark up pages with a stylus and share your notes with others. It's gonna integrate Cortana, Microsoft's virtual assistant, because, you know, apparently I need to talk to my browser.
Can I just say, screw virtual reality. MS is going augmented reality with this thing called HoloLens on Windows 10. So this could be kind of cool too.
Well, this is, so we were, you know, it's interesting. I don't think anybody really expected this, but the idea, so virtual reality is a totally synthetic world inside your glasses, right? Everything you see is rendered in 3D. Augmented means that there's a fake world that's laid over the real world you can see, and you can kind of see this gaming environment, you know, kind of has a certain Minecrafty feel, because it is Minecraft, through the HoloLens. So this person's wearing the HoloLens, and there's their living room furniture, and there's Minecraft all over it.
I want to see little monsters traipsing around in my living room.
Well, that's literally,
so cute.
That's literally what's going on. There's a great write-up on GigaOm.com.
Yes.
Actually, it's what we're looking at. Microsoft jumps into augmented reality with HoloLens and Windows 10. And kind of the big deal is that the glasses screen is imperceptible from the real world. That's one of the big quotes I took from here.
You seen Minority Report?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, where you have like this whole screen up here and you're just moving things around and everything. It's very, very similar to Minority Report.
Really good read and that GigaOm article, because it's this is compelling.
It is. It's very compelling. So good job.
We wait, ladies and gentlemen.
Good job, Windows.
With bated breath. Another one, if you want to kind of get the big summary, it was a really good article. What's new in Windows 10 for PCs? A lot. Ooh. That's up at Engadget.com. Aaron Sepporis wrote that up. Good stuff. And suddenly, I've lost the urge to pull Windows 10 technical preview off my laptop.
Suddenly.
Suddenly. Well, I was kind of like, well, one of the things, you know, that they talk about in is that they're finally going to sort of fix all of the control panel issues, because you've seen me like banging my head against the various desktops when dealing with Windows 10 Technical Preview, because things are oversimplified.
So moving on, you mentioned on, I believe you were on This Week in, in Tech last week with Leo Laporte, Twit, and you mentioned something about curling.
Curling.
And we got so many questions about that.
Usually I just get some emails from people in Canada going, woo, curling, But this turned into a bunch of questions about how to watch curling and other region-locked video services online, right? First up, if you speak the native language of a country, going to the Google page for that country, say google.ca for Canada, right? You know, I speak English, or at least I speak American English, can make sports or events or obscure sports really easy to find. So, right, you know, if you look at the curling results for the United States, you get a bunch of obscure YouTube videos. If you look at the Google results for curling on google.ca, what you get is like the Canadian Curling Association and curling on TSN, and you get the Wikipedia entry, but you're going to find it, it may be much easier. Oh, Sportsnet curling, right? So you're going to get some stuff that may be much more useful. Mm-hmm. What I found, and a lot of people apparently who are curling enthusiasts or Netflix enthusiasts if they're overseas, you know, you find out like if my IP address isn't in Canada, I get no curling. No curling
region
for me.
Region locked. That's region no locked. Fun.
Yeah, so this works in reverse. Like I just mentioned, let's say I want to watch, House of Cards season whatever is released,
okay,
but I'm in Peru, and Netflix refuses to speak to me because I'm in Peru and not in the United States.
What do you do?
Well, I pretend I'm somewhere else. I think really hard and I click my heels together three times and say there's no place like... No. The solution is pretending you're browsing from the right country. One of the coolest tools for this is called TunnelBear. TunnelBear.com. It's as simple as it gets. You open the TunnelBear app, you change the country in the drop-down menu to the correct setting for the country you want to pretend you're in, then you flip the power dial to on, boom, you're done.
That's cool. How much does it cost?
If you do the free version, you get 500 megabytes, which is like 20 minutes of video on a bad day, right? For $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year, you get unlimited video or all the streaming.
So it's almost like having a cable subscription for whatever country you want to view.
Yeah, and I should say it's not just video. It's any sort of service you want to use that's prevented from working in your country. And the TunnelBear is really simple, and they have it for pretty much every platform you might want to run it off of. If you want to run it at the router level at your house, or if you want to get more serious about VPN, Lifehacker, Alan Henry over at Lifehacker, we love him. We love Lifehacker, period. But they have their sort of annual roundup of the best five VPN service providers, and there's good stuff here. Probably the best one still is Private Internet Access. That is, it's good stuff.
Yes.
If you want to learn more about
VPNs are fun.
Yes. And if you want to learn more about VPNs, ask at techthing.com, and we will discuss.
We could show them how to set up one.
Virtual private networks.
All right, so what's going on over at Hack 5? Why don't we find out from Darren?
Darren.
Securing the internet traffic coming out of your phone using SSH tunnels sounds complicated, actually a lot easier than you may think. You can do it with free software. We're doing that on Hack 5. You don't even need root on your phone. Plus, if you're getting into Arduinos, you're going to want to check this out. Shannon is getting into Sketches, doing a little bit of programming, blinking lights, it's good stuff. Check it out on the sister show, Hack 5.
We're back and it's now time for a rapid fire round. So this is where we will try to answer three different questions, give three different recommendations, or review three different products in less than a minute. Are you ready?
Go!
Go! All right, so Martin asks, how can an average Joe calibrate his or her average HD monitor? I would think calibration on any system would help create more effective photos and videos.
First of all, I love someone that uses parentheticals as often as I do. Second of all, if you're talking HD as in TV, the way to go is Spears & Munsell's HD Benchmark 2nd Edition. It is awesome. It is the definitive tool for DIY home calibration. Ooh. It costs $30. It's available on Amazon.com or anywhere else. If you want something that's less geeky and more explaining sort of the world of high-definition video and sort of encoding, and it's just really cool, the Disney WOW World of Wonder Blu-ray. It explains a lot of the hows and whys of HD by Goofy, with some really awesome,
so cute.
It's so odd, with excellent Disney movie clips, and
that's
it includes
awesome.
The blue filter you need for color and tint setup, just like the Spears and Munsell disc. Now, if you want something free and you want to get your geek on, head over to the AV forums, AVS forums, and check out the AVS HD 709 files. It's pretty cool. This is essentially a set of files you can download and burn to a disk and use to seriously tweak out on calibration. All that said, if you're talking about color calibration for Photoshop or Final Cut Pro, mm-hmm. Premiere, or other professional tools, or if you just want consistent colors for pro, prosumer, enthusiast, you know, photo printing, right? Because you look at the photo, and then you look at the print, and then
this
you vomit
the
with
same
frustration.
Purple?
What you need
That's
is a thing
problem.
Called, yes, the purple is not the purple. There's reasons, and we're not going to get into them because I have a minute. You want something called a colorimeter. Datacolor Spider is pretty good and pretty accessible,
okay.
And Spider 4 Express, Spider 4 Pro. Essentially, these take a picture of they look at your monitor. They are. There's a word in my head. They're colorimeters. Basically, they look at the colors in your monitor and allow you to manipulate and adjust them.
Awesome.
It's pretty cool stuff.
All right, our second question comes from Frank. He asks, have you looked at the Spark I.O. and Spark Core? Could you cover the online IDE? P.S. So happy that you two are back. Okay, so you asked that, and I basically went down this huge rabbit hole on Adafruit and Spark and the Arduino's website, and I was like, whoa, look at all the segment possibilities. This is amazing.
So is it in an Arduino, or is it something you attach to an Arduino microcontroller?
You would attach it to the microcontroller. So the Spark.io, they sell the Photon and the Core. And the Core is a Wi-Fi-enabled development board, which you can find over at the Spark.io website. And it basically lets you stick it onto an Arduino to make things that work over Wi-Fi, or you can just start with scratch with a breadboard to make your own things. And those
cool.
could be any things that you want them to be, and they would all be Wi-Fi connected. Really, really cool. And this does work with the Spark IDE, so you can find the web IDE over at spark.io/build, and this is what it looks like when you first log in, and I can maximize it a little bit. So to give you an example, this is what the code would look like for a really, really simple code segment to blink an LED on your board. So if you know any basic C code, you can program in this too, because it looks exactly like the Arduino code as well. So I could talk about this stuff for days and days, but that's pretty much what it looks like and where you can find more information about those.
Spark.io.
Yay! At Morris Bayer tweets, what do you think about Dolby Atmos 5.1.4 at home? Is it worth it to spend thousands of dollars and upgrade from 7.1? Regards.
It's a little early. There's maybe four Blu-ray titles with Dolby Atmos encoding, and the best of them
is... A whole four.
Yeah, whole four, and the best of them is like the worst of the Transformers movies. A lot of Dolby Atmos movies in the theater are amazing, but right now, as far as I know, there are literally only four titles. There's some streaming Atmos opportunities, but right now, I would wait for more Atmos titles and for Atmos hardware prices to come down. Robert Heron actually had some really good points to add on to this. He says, I'm waiting for a 4K AVR with HDCP 2.2 plus firmware updates for Atmos, RO3D, and DTS 10. Then he's going to start shopping for speakers again. It is way
awesome
early
questions.
For Atmos, though. Great question, though.
Yes. Thank you so much for all of your questions. Of course, if you guys have a quick question that you want for the rapid fire round, it could be anything. Email us at ask@techthing.com, and we will answer it for you.
And we'll be right back after this break. This episode of Tech Thing is brought to you by viewers like you. If you're enjoying the show, please consider donating to our Patreon at patreon.com/techthing. You can donate a nickel, a dime, or even $5 per episode, and that contribution goes directly back into the show. And remember, if you can't donate, no worries. We'd love it if you shared the show with your friends, subscribed on YouTube, or just sent us your questions on your favorite social network. Thank you so much for supporting Tech Thing. I love this question. Kathleen writes in, does it make any sense to build desktops anymore, or is it now just cheaper to buy one?
Oh my gosh. This is another one of those questions that I could turn into like an hour, 2 hour long conversation with somebody.
Contain yourself.
I'm sorry, but I get so excited. So it really depends on the person. For example,
right.
I have a friend that loves building PCs, but he also doesn't have any time to do all the research and compatibility tests and find the best hardware, read reviews. So he'll probably just buy one because it makes more sense for him. My other friend doesn't care what parts are in his machine as long as it works, so he would probably just buy one, and he probably wouldn't pay top dime for it.
I mean, it's also really weird, like, you know, are you gaming?
Yes.
If you're not gaming, just buy whatever. If you're not gaming or video editing or like dealing with like 42,000
people, then you could probably just buy one.
Excel spreadsheet. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or buy just a cheap one because a Core i3 is going to kick ass until you want to game.
Yeah.
Cue mocking emails.
So personally, I have time to research, like research my butt off, especially because it's my job. So I'll just build one because it also I should mention too, it depends on whether or not that you want to have a company's warranty. Because a lot of the buy ones that you can just purchase, those come with some kind of warranty. Like if you have a defect product inside of it, you can just send it back and they'll fix it or they'll replace it.
Well, it's also like Puget Systems, they build a PC, then they give you like all of the manuals for all of the parts in the PC in a binder. They do a 72-hour burn-in, and the warranty means if it's a problem, it's their problem to fix, not your problem to fix.
So one of the things I also want to mention is like the reason why I build PCs is because I'm super picky, so I get to choose exactly what I want, exactly the price that I want.
I want this case with this motherboard and this processor.
And this really cool liquid cooling.
Well, I was talking to like Ryan Trout and I were doing This Week in Computer Hardware earlier this year, and it was a running joke like every like 8 days there were another 34 new motherboards on the market.
Oh my gosh.
There are more motherboards than you need, but you can literally get a motherboard that just about has all of the features you want. And the likelihood of you finding that motherboard from Megacorp PC or even minor PC company is almost, it's just not going to happen probably. I'm just saying.
So I ended up doing a whole bunch of research on different ones that you could purchase, some manufacturer PCs with similar hardware to my own build scenarios, to see if it would be cheaper or more expensive to build versus buy with that similar hardware. So you should also consider how old and how reliable the parts are that come in your buy versus a build one as well. So just make sure to keep that in mind too. So for the lower end, I found just an example of what you can find on the market right now. I was able to find a PC on here, which I was able to, you know, add on a few extras, like I upgraded to a 4th gen i5 as opposed to the 4th gen i3.
And you're up on HP.com right now.
Yeah, HP.com, and I just picked out, let's see, this is the HP Pavilion 500T. So this is more of a lower end one that you could still play a few video games on.
Kind of.
8 gigs of RAM, kind of. 1 terabyte hard drive, no solid state, so I didn't upgrade that, and then a 1 gig NVIDIA GeForce GT705. That comes out to $653. Now if I do a comparative model over here on PCPartPicker.com, it'll be a little bit more expensive, $776.81. And that does not include a case or peripherals. So if you don't already have those things, that's going to increase your price if you're building
it. So if that was $776 without a case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the things to think about is when HP or Dell or any other major PC manufacturer buys parts, they're buying 10,000 of them at once.
Ooh, yeah.
And when you buy 10,000 of them at once, you get a discount on them. It's as you start to get into more the more high-end GPUs, more high-end CPUs, their price buying advantage gets, this is I guess my sign for smaller.
Smaller. It's so beautiful.
You also looked at a Dell XPS 8700.
I did, yeah. So the 8700, you can get this one for about $1,000 or $1,100, depending on which upgrades you choose. This one comes with Windows 8.1, 16 gigs of RAM, as opposed to just 8, a 2 terabyte hard drive, which is pretty sweet, and an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 745. If I build the same one, or one that's very, very close to this, I actually didn't have the choice to do the 745, so I did the 770, which is a little bit of more of an upgrade. It's $1,050, so it's incredibly close in price.
That's
but
practically
again, without
a wash.
The case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you should have picked a case. Because if you picked a case.
But cases vary so much in price. Like, you could get one for like $50 if you walk into Fry's today.
But no disrespect to Dell and the XPS 8700. I'm pretty sure a $50 case is going to be the equivalent of the 8700.
It will.
Or your $50 case is probably going to have sharper edges and sort of.
Big deal.
But right. So basically, at this point, you're at the mid range and you're almost paying the same, but you're still like $100.
So I was like, huh, that's interesting. I wonder what happens if I want to get like a hardcore gaming PC. You know, what happens when I want to get that really, really hardcore one with crazy high gaming GPU and everything?
So crazy high gaming. So you're getting like a 970 at this point.
Yeah. So I looked at the Alienware Area 51, and their options include. They're all Core i7s, which is great. They all have 16 gigs of memory, except for this lower-end model. model, which has 8 gigs of memory.
Got that glorious, crazy case.
Glorious, crazy case. This one has the NVIDIA GeForce GTX 770. And I scroll down and their prices are high range up to 1600 all the way up to 4500.
So what is in that 1600
really
or $1700 system? What's in that? Obviously you get the distinctive triangular alien egg head
thing.
But how much RAM and what GPU are you getting in
okay,
that?
Okay, let's click into there. So you get the AMD Radeon, I believe that was the 720. Let's scroll down a little bit. So if I click into configurations for this lower end model, which is $1,700 mm-hmm. from Alienware, you get the i7, which is a fifth generation 5820. So that's definitely an upgrade. Pretty cool. You also get the AMD Radeon 270 video card, and you get 8 gigs of RAM as well as 2 terabyte hard drive. So pretty nice. You know, it's very fancy, I'd say.
I don't know if I want to pay for the case, but it's a good build. What was your DIY price
so
for
this
a similar
collection
of parts?
So this is my DIY version. So I didn't go with the i7 5th gen mm-hmm. because I personally wouldn't need that for my video gaming. I was able to build a rig for $1,428. And this is an i7 4th gen Thermaltake CPU cooler. I got the MSI Gaming ATX motherboard. And then we have Corsair Vengeance with 16 gigs RAM. I love Corsair Vengeance, never had a problem with those. 500 gig mSATA SSD, as well as a 2 terabyte hard drive. And then I also got the 970 GeForce GTX by NVIDIA.
So
fancy.
But you picked a more expensive, you spent less money on the CPU, more money on the GPU.
Yep.
Did you include a case in this one?
No.
Okay, so
have my case.
Okay.
So let's add $200 for a really, really nice one.
So then you're up at parity.
I'm up at parity.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so it's like, we didn't do exact comparisons here, but you get the idea. You can take a little bit from here, add a little more from there. You get the advantage of choosing exactly the build you want.
And luckily, a lot of the ones that you buy nowadays, they do let you do different configurations, so you can choose those, but somebody else is still making it for you, and you don't get a choice on the case.
Well, I don't know. You know.
And sometimes they come with really terrible keyboards and mouses.
Well, we should point out, I've been carrying my nice keyboard and my nice mouse from system to system.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
For years, and I've had 3 systems simultaneously with a KVM using the nice keyboard and mouse. So please don't email us, ask@techthing.com, you guys suck, you didn't include the cost of a monitor or the cost of a keyboard and mouse in that. No, because most people.
A lot of times when you're doing a build, you already have those.
Yeah.
And you can reposition those for your new gaming PC.
Especially in the gaming community, because so many people have invested significant money, whether it's mm-hmm. a Razer keyboard or my obsessive loyalty to the IBM Model M keyboard. But it's something to think about.
Yeah.
Probably should have included case prices in those, but I haven't bought.
But even if I do, it's not that much.
It's still
of a
another
difference.
$50, $100, unless mm-hmm. you want to buy the super duper case,
and
then you can spend as much money.
Yeah,
as
mid tower,
you
can get a really good one for $100.
You can get
$120,
and you can get one that'll hold your parts in place and not mm-hmm. fall apart for $50.
Yeah.
Don't cheap out on power supplies. That's
very
all I'm
true.
So many problems in life are due to bad power supplies.
And I should mention as well, this probably isn't going to be my final gaming build. This is just an example one. I'm still going to do a bunch more research and look at reviews for all these parts. So don't yell at me if you don't agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tech Thing is up on youtube.com/c/techthing. And we got a bunch of comments on our second episode. Here's a few of our favorites.
So we got a question from John, and he said, "Hi, it's great to see you guys back on Tech Thing. In light of your new support model through Patreon, it would be interesting to learn more details about it, as well as how other tech shows and sites are supported and how each support model works. Thank you for putting on and continuing one of the best tech shows out there." Thank you, John.
Thank you
really
so
sweet.
Much. Advertising is the core of funding for the vast majority. You mentioned CNET, you mentioned Twit. They both run on advertising. Mm-hmm. We will accept advertising until, as we build up, we will accept advertising unless our Patreon gets so large that we can afford to not take advertising.
Yeah, and that's how we're able to give you free content.
Yes.
It's because we were able to take on sponsors and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny. We're trying something very, very new. Patreon was inspired kind of by Kickstarter and Indiegogo. Mm-hmm. The person who created Patreon did a video that got zillions of views on YouTube and had like a check for $200 and had built like a $7,000 set to make a super cool music video. So he said, there's got to be a way where I can bring the individual users into contact with the makers so that they can work together. And that's what Patreon is, patreon.com/techthing. Obviously, we're pushing it because we want the future of the program to be tied up with you guys. So if you guys still like us, we'll keep making this, and we can make it if you pay for it. Filthy lucre. But we also have this whole food, shelter, health insurance, you know, not living on the street.
Oh my gosh, health insurance is so expensive.
It is expensive.
Welcome to America.
Have kids.
Yeah, no
You
kidding.
Think it's expensive now? Have children. In any case, advertising, though, is the core of the industry, whether you're talking about broadcast television, cable television, or podcasts or video.
I've seen a few podcasts do, like, a subscription-based model thing, but I don't watch any of those personally.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that started with Twit, you know, our buddy Leo up in Petaluma, is he started with a tip jar, and then the tip jar sort of yielded to advertising as the expenses of production got higher. So it's, you know, there's, and a lot of cases, I think the future, and you know, for example, Hack 5, we're here in the Hack House and the Hack Warehouse. You know, Darren found out that selling hardware is a way to make money. Brian Brushwood, Schwood sells swag,
Schwood swag.
I don't know if that's a website or not.
Yep.
I don't know.
Merchandise is super fun too.
Yeah, so you know, it's kind of like everybody's going to try a mixture. Is this my new sign for mixture of things?
Mine is this, like a mixing a cauldron.
So we're going to try a mix of things and figure out which ones allows us to actually eat. And hopefully, you know,
I want to make t-shirts.
T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we don't have to individually spray paint each one.
Only you would have to do that part.
Well, we actually do that a lot at my house for the kids. That way
I believe
we can,
it.
You know.
Crafting. Yay!
There's nothing. Crafting is good for you. In any case, that wraps up. If we're talking about crafting and stenciling, it's time to wrap up this episode of Tech Thing. We hope you liked it. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, the RSS feed is going to be up this week. Go to techthing.com to subscribe or search on iTunes.
I'll tweet whenever it's actually released.
Yeah.
Or you can feel free to watch via our YouTube channel. Please go over there and subscribe. YouTube.com/C/TechThing. And as well, don't forget to back your stuff up. Mm-hmm. It's so important. And remember, once in a while, just put down your computer, put down the phone, even turn it off if you feel so obliged to, and do something analog, like going to the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., which is super awesome.
Spy
I went there
Museum.
Once.
Com.
It was so cool. You could actually see, like, real-life spy equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
She loves spy equipment.
It's really fun.
Oh, my goodness. I'm Patrick Norton.
I'm Shannon Morse.
We'll see you next week on Tech Thing.
I'm going to get some spy cameras. Some glasses. Wear them while I'm driving.
You're creeping me
out. No, I think that's it.
You're creeping me out.
Yeah.
Spy glasses.
Spy glasses. With a little camera on them so I can record all the crazy drivers in California. This morning, guy drives right across me while we had a red light. And I was just like, what you doing, dude?
Oh my goodness, I had one of those yesterday. Guy blew through a stop sign.
Crazy.
Blew through a stop sign, cut me off, and then slowed down to pick his phone up off the floor and was talking at his phone and then sat at the light in front of us after it turned green for like 10 seconds.